Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Who passed me the note? Are we able to finish the reading of the instructions? Probably another 30 minutes. Okay. I'm going to restart at the beginning of page 46 because I don't exactly know where I was. The sixth claim for your consideration in this case is a claim brought by the estate of Beata Kowalski. The estate claims that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital acted extremely and outrageously during the time that Maya Kowalski was a patient at the hospital and that this conduct is a legal cause of Beata Kowalski's death by suicide. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies this claim. If you decide on the verdict form for the survivor claim, which is the fifth claim, that the estate did not prove its claim that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital acted extremely and outrageously, causing Beata Kowalski severe emotional distress, then you must also decide in favor of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this sixth claim. However, if you decide on the verdict form for the survivor claim, which is the fifth claim, and that the estate did prove its claim that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital acted extremely and outrageously, causing Beata Kowalski severe emotional distress, then you must also decide the issues in this sixth claim. The estate must prove its claims by the greater weight of the evidence. I will now define some of the terms you will use in deciding this claim. Greater weight of the evidence means the more persuasive and convincing force and effect of the entire evidence in the case. Extreme and outrageous conduct is behavior which, under the circumstances, goes beyond all possible bounds of decency and is regarded as shocking, atrocious, and utterly intolerable in a civilized community. Emotional distress is severe when it is of such intensity or duration that no ordinary person should be expected to endure it. I apologize. Is that the greater weight instruction? Okay, I apologize, members of the jury. The issue for you to decide on the estate's wrongful death claim are, one, whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, through its employees or agents, engaged in extreme and outrageous conduct during the time that Maya Kowalski was a patient at the hospital, and acted with the intent either to cause Beata Kowalski severe emotional distress or with reckless disregard of the high probability of causing Beata Kowalski severe emotional distress, and, if so, whether that extreme and outrageous conduct was a legal cause of Beata Kowalski's death by suicide. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital did not need to specifically intend for the conduct of its agents and employees to cause Beata Kowalski to die by suicide. However, the agents and employees of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital needed to engage in extreme and outrageous conduct with the intent to cause Beata Kowalski severe emotional distress or with reckless disregard of the high probability of causing Beata Kowalski severe emotional distress sufficient to be a legal cause of her death by suicide. To be a legal cause of Beata Kowalski's death by suicide, the extreme and outrageous conduct must either, one, create in Beata Kowalski an uncontrollable impulse to commit suicide, or two, be a substantial factor in bringing about the suicide. Uncontrollable impulse means a mental state that prevented Beata Kowalski for appreciating the nature of the act of suicide or controlling her conduct. In order to be regarded as a legal cause of death by suicide, extreme and outrageous conduct need not be the only cause. Extreme and outrageous conduct may be a legal cause of severe emotional distress, even though it operates in combination with the act of another or some other cause, if the extreme and outrageous conduct contributes substantially to producing such severe emotional distress. If the greater weight of the evidence does not support the estate's claim, your verdict should be for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. However, if the greater weight of the evidence supports the estate's claim, then your verdict should be for the estate and against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. If your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, you will not consider the matter of damages. But if the greater weight of the evidence supports the estate's claim, you should determine and write on the verdict form in dollars the total amount of loss, injury, or damage which the greater weight of the evidence shows the estate of Beata Kowalski and her survivor sustained as a result of her injury and death, including any damages that the estate and the survivors are reasonably certain to occur or experience in the future. Elements of damage for the estate. In determining the damages recoverable on behalf of the estate of Beata Kowalski, you shall consider the following elements: the estate's loss of net accumulations. Net accumulations is the part of Beata Kowalski's net income from salary after taxes, including pension benefits, which Beata Kowalski, after paying her personal expenses and monies for the support of her survivors, would have left as part of her estate if she had lived her normal life expectancy. Elements of damage for surviving spouse and children. In determining any damages to be awarded the estate for the benefit of Beata Kowalski's surviving spouse and children, you shall consider certain additional elements of damage for which there is no exact standard for fixing the compensation to be awarded. Any such award should be fair and just in the light of the evidence regarding the following elements. A, damages of surviving spouse. Jack Kowalski's loss of Beata Kowalski's companionship and protection, and his mental pain and suffering as a result of Beata Kowalski's death. In determining the duration of the losses, you may consider the life expectancy of Jack Kowalski together with the other evidence in the case. B, damages by surviving children. The loss by Kyle Kowalski and Maya Kowalski of parental companionship, instruction, and guidance, and their mental pain and suffering as a result of Beata Kowalski's death. In determining the duration of those losses, you may consider the life expectancy of each of the surviving children together with other evidence in the case. C. Loss, support, and services. The survivors, Jack Kowalski, Maya Kowalski, and Kyle Kowalski's loss by reason of Beata Kowalski's injury and death, of Beata Kowalski's support and services from the date of injury to the date of death. In determining the duration of any future loss, you may consider the joint life expectancy of the survivors and Beata Kowalski in the period of minority ending at age 25 of Maya Kowalski and Kyle Kowalski. And D, medical and funeral expenses. The medical and funeral expenses resulting from Beata Kowalski's death paid by Jack Kowalski. In evaluating past and future loss of support and services, you shall consider the survivor's relationship to Beata Kowalski, the amount of Beata Kowalski's probable net income available for distribution to the survivor, and the replacement value of Beata Kowalski's services to the survivors. Support includes contributions in kind as well as sums of money. Services means tasks regularly performed by Beata Kowalski for a survivor that will be a necessary expense to the survivor because of Beata Kowalski's death. Any damages that you find were sustained by Beata Kowalski's estate and by Jack Kowalski, Maya Kowalski, and Kyle Kowalski shall be separately stated in your verdict. Mortality tables. In determining how long Beata Kowalski would have lived had she lived out her normal life, you may consider her life expectancy at the time of her death. The mortality tables received in evidence may be considered in determining how long she may have been expected to live. Mortality tables are not binding on you, but may be considered together with other evidence in the case bearing on her health, age, and physical condition before her death in determining the probable length of her life. In determining the duration of any future loss sustained by Jack Kowalski, Maya Kowalski, and Kyle Kowalski by reason of the death of Beata Kowalski, you may consider the joint life expectancy of Jack Kowalski, Maya Kowalski, and Kyle Kowalski, and Beata Kowalski. The joint life expectancy is that period of time when both the decedent and a survivor would have remained alive. The mortality tables received in evidence may be considered together with the other evidence in the case in determining how long each may have been expected to live. Any amount of damages which you allow for the estate's loss of net accumulations should be reduced to its present money value, and only the present money value of these future economic damages should be included in your verdict. The present money value of future economic damages is the sum of money needed now, which, together with what that sum will earn in the future, will compensate for these losses as they are actually experienced in future years. The seventh claim for your consideration in this case is brought by Maya Kowalski against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Maya Kowalski claims that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital acted extremely and outrageously during the time that she was a patient at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies this claim. Maya Kowalski must prove her claim by the greater weight of the evidence. I will now define some of the terms you will use in deciding this claim. Greater weight of the evidence means the more persuasive and convincing force and effect of the entire evidence in the case. Extreme and outrageous conduct is behavior which, under the circumstances, goes beyond all possible bounds of decency and is regarded as shocking, atrocious, and utterly intolerable in a civilized community. Emotional distress is severe when it is of such intensity or duration that no ordinary person should be expected to endure it. Extreme and outrageous conduct is a legal cause of severe emotional distress if it directly and in natural and continuous sequence produces or contributes substantially to producing such severe emotional distress, so that it can reasonably be said that, but for the extreme and outrageous conduct, the severe emotional distress would not have occurred. In order to be regarded as a legal cause of severe emotional distress, extreme and outrageous conduct need not be the only cause. Extreme and outrageous conduct may be a legal cause of severe emotional distress, even though the act of another or some other cause also contributes to the distress. The issues for you to decide on Maya Kowalski's claims are: A, whether Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital engaged in extreme and outrageous conduct and acted with the intent either to cause severe emotional distress or with reckless disregard of the high probability of causing severe emotional distress to Maya Kowalski, and if so, whether the extreme and outrageous conduct was a legal cause of severe emotional distress to Maya Kowalski. If the greater weight of the evidence does not support Maya Kowalski's claim, your verdict should be for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. However, if the greater weight of the evidence supports Maya Kowalski's claim, then your verdict should be for Maya Kowalski and against Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. If your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, you will not consider the matter of damages. But if the greater weight of the evidence supports Maya Kowalski's claim, you should determine and write on the verdict form in dollars the total amount of loss, injury, or damage which the greater weight of the evidence shows will fairly and adequately compensate Maya Kowalski for the loss, injury, or damage caused by the extreme and outrageous conduct. If you find for Maya Kowalski, you shall consider the following elements. A, any emotional distress sustained by Maya Kowalski and any resulting bodily injury, disability, or physical impairment, mental anguish, inconvenience, or loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life experienced in the past or to be experienced in the future. There is no exact standard for measuring such damage. The amount should be fair and just in the light of the evidence. B, the reasonable value of medical care and treatment necessarily or reasonably obtained by Maya Kowalski in the past or to be obtained in the future. C, any loss of ability to earn money sustained in the future. Aggravation or activation of disease or defect. If you find that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital caused a bodily injury and that the injury resulted in an aggravation of an existing disease or physical defect, you should attempt to decide what portion of Maya Kowalski's conditions resulted from the aggravation. If you can make that determination, you should award only those damages resulting from the aggravation. However, if you cannot make that determination, or if it cannot be said that the condition would have existed apart from the injury, then you should award damages for the entire condition suffered by Maya Kowalski. In deciding this case, it is your duty as jurors to decide the issues, and only those issues that I submit for your determination. You must come to an agreement about what your answers will be. Your agreed upon answers to my questions are called your jury verdict. The evidence in this case consists of the sworn testimony of the witnesses, all exhibits received in evidence, and all the facts that were admitted or agreed to by the parties. In reaching your verdict, you must think about and weigh the testimony in any documents, photographs, or other material that has been received in evidence. You may also consider any facts that were admitted or agreed to by the lawyers. Your job is to determine what the facts are. You may use reason and common sense to reach conclusions. You may draw reasonable inferences from the evidence, but you should not guess about things that were not covered here, and you must always apply the law as I have explained it to you. Let me speak briefly about witnesses. In evaluating the believability of any witnesses and the weight you will give the testimony of any witnesses, you may properly consider the demeanor of the witnesses while testifying, the frankness or lack of frankness of the witness, the intelligence of the witness, any interest the witness may have in the outcome of the case, the means and opportunity the witness had to know the facts about which the witness testified, the ability of the witness to remember the matters about which the witness testified, the ability of the witness to remember the matters about which the witness testified, and the reasonableness of the testimony of the witness, considered in the light of all the evidence in the case and in the light of your own experience and common sense. You have heard opinion testimony on certain technical subjects from persons referred to as expert witnesses. You may accept such opinion testimony, reject it, or give it the weight you think it deserves, considering the knowledge, skill, experience, training, or education of the witness, the reasons given by the witness for the opinion expressed, and the other evidence in the case. It is entirely proper for a lawyer to talk to a witness about the testimony the witness would give if called to the courtroom. The witness should not be discredited just because the witness talked with a lawyer about his or her testimony. In your deliberations, you will consider and decide several distinct claims. Although these claims have been tried together, each is separate from the others, and each party is entitled to have you separately consider each claim as it affects that party. Therefore, in your deliberations, you should consider the evidence as it relates to each claim separately, as you would had each claim been tried separately. Although these claims are separate claims, it is possible that separate claims may result in overlapping damages. Your verdict should not award damages twice for the same loss, injury, or damage, even if they result from different claims. Your award of monetary damages for each claim, if any, must not duplicate the same damage awarded in the other claims. That is the law you must follow in deciding this case. Tomorrow morning, the attorneys for the parties will present their final arguments to you. And when they are through tomorrow, I will have a few final instructions about your deliberations. Now, we're going to pause it right there. And that's going to be all of the instructions I am going to read. Can I see the attorneys for a moment up here, please? Okay. Members of the jury, in a moment I'm going to let you retire to the deliberations room, but you are not to begin to deliberate anything because we're going to have additional arguments tomorrow and some further jury instructions. You're not going to go home just yet, but But I am going to be sending you back into the jury deliberation room. So do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information. Now, I'm going to send 11 of you. I'm going to keep juror number 181 out here with us. Okay, so if the 11 of you can go back into the jury deliberation room.
All rise. Jurors exit.
Please be seated. The only juror that remains with us is juror number 181. All 11 other jurors are not with us. I did receive your note, and I have discussed it with the attorneys, and I'm sorry that you're experiencing the issue that you put in your note. I don't want to say what it is. What I'm going to do is I'm going to discharge you from your further service of jury duty. I already have a juror note for you. There's a whole bunch of things I would like to say that I don't have time to go into, so I'm just going to kind of give you the short statements here. Number one, I have already entered a court order prohibiting the disclosure of the names of the jurors until after the trial is over. You know the names of the jurors. So I'm telling you, until the trial is over and everything's done, you cannot let anyone know the name, identity, where they work. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to be free of all other instructions. And so in a moment, I'll tell you what that means. But the bottom line is you're going to be free to talk about whatever you want. You're going to be free to look at whatever you want. You're going to be free not to talk about whatever you want. That's going to be totally up to you. But one of the most important things I need you to remember is until this is all over, you cannot say anything about the names of the other jurors. Unfortunately, because I'm going to be discharging you, I cannot have you say goodbye to the others. And I feel very sorry that I'm going to have to do that to you. What I will do is if you leave your telephone number with the court deputy, and if you are comfortable with it, when this is all over, I will give your telephone number to the other jurors. And then they can contact you and you can, and then I'll ask them to give me their numbers so that you all can communicate back and forth. But that's not going to happen until after this is all over. So it's totally up to you if you want to leave your telephone number for us to give to the other jurors. And again, I apologize that you're not going to get to talk or say goodbye to everybody else. You have given us over 9 weeks of your time and attention. You took copious notes. You know, you asked lots of questions. You did everything we asked you to do as a citizen of the state of Florida. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. I know you have a job and I know your employer has given up your skills while you were with us. And so on behalf of all the lawyers in this case, and on behalf of the court, I want to say thank you. I do have a certificate. I didn't know this was going to happen, so I don't have the certificate ready, but I will send that to you as well. Also, if you leave us your cell phone number, when we have a verdict, my assistant will call you. If you want to come on down to watch, you can do that. If you want to sign online to the Zoom or tap into any of the number of feeds that are being broadcast, you will be able to do that. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and give you the formal discharge instruction. And I'm going to file this note, although Madam Clerk, he put his name on it, so the name has to remain protected. On behalf, and juror 181, On behalf of the parties, lawyers, and the people of the state of Florida, I wish to thank you for your time and consideration of this case. And I also wish to advise you of some very special privileges enjoyed by jurors. No juror, that would include you, can be required to talk about the discussions that occurred in the jury room except by court order. For many centuries, our society has relied upon juries for consideration of difficult cases. We have recognized for hundreds of years that the jury's deliberations, discussions, and votes should remain their private affair so long as you wish. And I know you didn't deliberate, and I know you haven't been discussing the case, but I'm just reading you the instruction. Therefore, the law gives you a unique privilege not to speak about the jury's work. The lawyers and their representatives are not permitted to approach you. They are not permitted to initiate any communication with you about the trial. However, you are free, if you wish to speak with any of the lawyers or anyone else about this trial, you may do that. Can't tell anybody the names of the other jurors until this is all over. So you have the right to refuse to speak with anyone, and you can also talk. It's going to be totally up to you. Please understand that a request may come from those who are simply curious or those who may seek to find fault with you. And it's going to be up to you to determine whether to preserve your privacy as a juror. So do you have anything in the back room?
No.
So you do not need to go back in there? Okay, so what I'm going to ask the sheriff's office to do is to take him out that door and take him directly to his vehicle, and let me know when he is gone so we can then let the other jurors go, because I don't want there to be any possibility of them overlapping. So what I'm going to do is... And I'm going to ask the TV folks, as he goes through this other door, let's make sure we do not capture his face. We do. Thank you very much for yours. I hope the medical issue resolves in a quick fashion for you. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Everyone can please be seated. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I just have to wait for another deputy to come to so I can bring back the other 11. You want to, why don't you bring them in? Okay, everyone, please be seated. Members of the jury, I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did not do any investigation, and you did not receive any information about this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
And no one's approached you about this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
And has anyone seen any media coverage about this case?
No.
Okay. You will see that one of your number is no longer with us. He was suffering a medical issue. We will proceed with 11. Okay. I need him to get to his car because I can't have him have any contact with you. I've told him a couple of things. Number one, that he is not allowed to disclose your identity or where you work until after this is all over. Okay, so don't worry about that. He understands that issue. I also said that if he wants to leave his telephone number, I would be happy to share it with you after this is all over. And if you wish to leave your telephone number so I can share with him, I'm happy to do that. It's just I told him he is not, and even if he has one or more of your cell phone numbers, he is not allowed to contact you until this is all over, and he understands that. But if for whatever reason he does attempt to contact you, you cannot have any contact. I apologize that you haven't had a chance to say goodbye, but that's just the way I need to run it this way, okay? So as soon as I discharged him, he can't cross your path. So that is the reason why I've done it the way I've done it. Now, I'll also say a couple more things. Tomorrow you're going to be deliberating, and I have told you we're going to take your cell phone and any sort of like smartwatch or anything like that away from you. A lot of times what juries find is when we get to this stage, things happen rather quickly, and then all of a sudden it's over and everybody's gone. If you all wish to share amongst yourselves your cell phone numbers and whatnot, it's up to you. I don't care. It's up to you if you want to do that. It's a good idea to do it today as opposed to tomorrow. Okay. Just if you're going to do that, get it out of the way. And so when you come tomorrow, we're focused on the closing arguments and then the beginning of deliberations. Now, let's talk about the time for tomorrow. I asked you before we went to lunch if we can start earlier. I saw there might have been some. So I don't know, do you want to start earlier, 30 minutes early, 15 minutes earlier, the regular time?
Early.
Early, so be here to start at 8:30. Is that comfortable for everybody? I mean, is it going to cause a problem for anybody? Okay. Now, a couple other things. I'm going to, when you come in tomorrow, we're going to ask for your lunch order from wherever we're going to get the lunch. I don't know where that is. So we'll get that done right out of the way. Just make sure on your lunch order you put your juror number, not your name, but your juror number on the order, because I don't want your names going to wherever we're going to go to lunch. So we all remember our juror numbers? Okay. Timing for tomorrow evening. I'm going to kind of let that be the jury's determination within reason. I mean, I'm not going to stay until, 1 o'clock at night. If you come and decide at some point you still want more time to deliberate, that's fine. If you want to leave at whatever time, so long as you put in a full day tomorrow, that's fine. If you want to go into the evening somewhat, that's fine. That's going to be up to the jury. I know Wednesday, we've got to stop early. We'll stop at whatever time we need to stop on Wednesday. So, have we heard if we're clear at this point? Okay, so juror 181 is now gone. Again, I apologize for the way all that went down, but it's the way I need to do it to make sure, one, that we don't have any sort of issue now that we're 9 weeks into this trial. I would hate to have an issue arise that caused us to start this whole thing over. So I'm just being overly protective of doing this properly. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any of it. Is there anything else I need to instruct the jury before I let them go for the day? Okay, we'll see you at 8:30 tomorrow. Do not discuss this case. Do not do any investigation. Receive no information.
All rise.
Let's keep it to no more than 10 minutes. Okay. I'm sorry?
What all do we have to do?
Well, we still have a juror disqualification motion. Right. We've got apparently a couple of issues with the jury instructions.
There's a few jury exhibit, not major, but you can't agree on it.
Okay. We'll take 5 to 10 minutes and we'll address all of those issues when we come back. Okay.
Okay, please be seated, everybody. Let's go over a few things before I forget. The plaintiffs used 50 minutes today. So in rebuttal, they consumed a total of 2 hours. The defense consumed 35 minutes. So in rebuttal, they consumed 55 minutes. So I think that concludes those time clocks. Now, you all were referencing that there might be some issue with the jury instructions.
Very minor, Your Honor. On the false imprisonment, the first.
Can you give me a page number?
Yes, I can. Page 13.
Page 13.
A and B on page 13. A only includes in the past. And I think it should say, and in the future. Or whatever language is acceptable, but I think that was unintentionally dropped out.
Isn't this a question I sent around this weekend?
I wasn't paying attention.
You know, I think it might have been, but I sort of counted on Mr. Elegant to catch it. I didn't double check it, but I'm not going to object to this.
Okay, so we need to add or in the future?
Yes.
What I'll do is I'll have the jurors open up their package and then I'll tell them to add those words in.
And I had a couple little things as well.
Okay. What page are you on?
Page 19 at the bottom, where it starts off with all children's, John Hopkins All Children's Hospital admits that it would be liable. For some reason, the standard sentence that would precede that, which is that John Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies these claims, got left off that one.
I had no idea it was so hefty.
So it would be Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital denies these claims and then go into Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital admits?
Yes.
Any objections?
Because it was myths of course and scope.
No objection.
Okay.
And then on page 41.
Mr. Elegant, were you trying to?
No. When you finish with the instructions, that there we need to do a jury verdict form change to match the change we just made. It's wrong there too. On false imprisonment. So we'll come back to that.
Oh, on the damages.
Yes.
Okay. On page 41, when we agreed to drop the fraudulent billing down to Mr. Kowalski, I still had a them in line 3 and a them in line 5. And then in subpart A, it was the plaintiffs rather than him, and Mr. Kowalski.
Okay, so what should it read?
It should read, you should award him an amount of money that the greater weight of the evidence shows will fairly and adequately compensate him for any monetary loss. And then down in the elements, the sub A should read, any deductibles or copays incurred by Mr. Kowalski as a result of Mayor Kowalski's sheltering at John Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
We had an addition as well, you know.
I can only do one at a time. Okay, so I've got on line 3 on page 41, line 5, and then so the plaintiff should read Mr. Kowalski?
Yeah.
So three changes on page 41, is that correct?
That's correct, and that's all I had.
Okay, Mr. Anderson.
Judge, we believe that, and I should have proposed this over the weekend, but we were a little preoccupied, as the court may be aware. This would be a C on page 41, and then in addition to question 41 on the verdict form.
Just do one thing at a time. Please don't do multiple things. So what do you want added to the language on page 41?
And or any billing by defendant of charges for medical services you determined were unnecessary and or not performed. To take into account, we have the billing in evidence and testimony that it was unnecessary and that they did not receive the CRPS billing for at least the psychoanalyst, the psychological Dr. Katzenstein charges. In the record, we have the complete billing. We have a slide with the breakdown of those. I'm sure the jury hasn't gone in and broken them down like we have, but we've broken it down for Dr. Katzenstein charges, and we believe that if the jury thinks that based on the discharge form where there was no listing of CRPS, they want to get rid of some of those charges, it should be part of the instruction and the interrogatory.
So
here.
What is the specific language you're asking to be added?
And or any billing by defendant of charges for medical services you determined were unnecessary and or not performed.
What's the claim?
Two things. It wasn't pled. If it'd been there, the expert that we brought all the way down from Baltimore would have talked about this. The impact on him for these things is in the copay for him personally, because Aetna's not really complaining about any of this. So I don't think that's necessary. And I'm not quite sure how they would, I'm not sure what the evidence is that allows them to figure out how to calculate this.
So that was your second reason?
I think, yeah, that might have been three reasons out of two.
Any response?
Yes, Your Honor. The evidence came in without objection. We put the billing in. We talked about the CRPS not being performed as it should be and not being treated. And there's also a reasonable inference from the evidence that none of the CRPS billing should be charged against them. Now, will the jury agree? I doubt it. But we believe, with the evidence in the record right now, there should be at least language to that effect if they choose to believe that the Kowalskis were overbilled. And the pleadings collapse into the proof of trial, and we have in the billing records, we have in the coding, so they know which ones are which, and we have in the testimony about the CRPS not being the real diagnosis, and of course Dr. Katzenstein giving 5 hours over the course of 97 days.
I'm not inclined to add that proposed little C to page 41.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, as far as the verdict form, I need to fix the question and add something to the along the lines of in the future.
Yes, Your Honor.
So that means all of the verdict forms that we circulated to you all, we need to shred those, and which I'll give you clean ones in the morning.
I think the problem is in question 8. The two false imprisonment ones, question 8 and question 13.
Yeah, I think I flagged this issue over the weekend.
I was thinking you took this out of one of these instructions when we went through it, and was there proof for these things? But that's just my memory.
Well, we're talking about pain and suffering here going into the future. I think there's proof on that. Mr. Allenborn, I think what you're thinking about is that some of these, it doesn't capture. Okay.
The list.
Number 12, expenses incurred in the future after she reaches 18. And I think, yeah, and then 14 is obtained in the future until she reaches.
This is what I'd ask Mr. Elegant and Mr. Altenburn to do. Get together, send me the specific language you want me to add, then I'll add it into the final. Just make sure it's specifically wherever you need it. If there's ultimately an objection to the language, send me each party's proposed language. But I don't think this is a controversial issue.
I agree. Mr. Elegant, I probably don't need to be in the courtroom for the next 4 or 5 minutes. I can walk out in the hall. If you want to call me, we can settle this.
Okay. I don't know what's being argued next.
Well, you might need to be here. That's true.
I think the next issue we're going to deal with is juror disqualification. That, in my mind, is where we're going next.
So, Mr. Elegant, why don't we just talk about it once that's finished?
Okay.
Thanks.
Anything else on the verdict form or jury instructions, or can I pivot at this point?
Not on behalf of the plaintiff, Your Honor.
Defense.
No, Your Honor.
We have before us a motion for juror disqualification of juror number one. That was filed by defense. I've read the motion. I've read the response. You know, I'm happy to accept further argument. Hopefully, it won't overlap too much. What was
started. No, I'll be brief, Judge. I appreciate. I know that you read the materials that have been provided to you. I do want to emphasize a couple of things and comment, if I can.
Sure.
I would say that I understand this is a very rare motion to bring. I've been practicing for almost 40 years, almost 200 trials, and never had to bring this kind of motion before. So I appreciate the gravity of it. I appreciate the unusualness of it, but we do believe that it's merited in this case. As you know, you're vested with the discretion in determining whether a juror has engaged in misconduct. And by misconduct, in this case, we don't mean that he has listened to news or done that things, but what we're talking about is that a juror that we believe has violated the instruction to not form any definite or fixed opinions about the merits of the case until all the evidence is in and arguments of attorneys and instructed on the law. We believe that deciding a case before hearing all the evidence is the antithetical to a fair trial. And I know that Your Honor has had we've pointed out some of the jury questions from this particular juror, but there are a couple I just want to emphasize. I don't have a page number, but this juror particularly, in one of his questions, started with, "You and this juror are not psychiatrists, we are humans and have feelings, etc." But goes on to say, "Is it possible that Maya's waning abilities could all in part be contributed to what Jay Hatch was causing? The limiting of family interactions and the stress and trauma Maya's testified to, documented statements to Maya about her mother's status, told to Maya by hospital staff, Miss Beattie, could all this possibly have affected Maya's participation in your therapy sessions?" To me, that, to the defense, that is a clear indication that this juror has already determined what the evidence is on those issues.
Okay, so which one in your motion are you referring to? What little letter, 2A, B, C?
Oh, I don't know, Judge. I'd have to go back and connect that, and I can do that if asked. The tenor of the questions that we've addressed in our motion and the specific questions that we reference clearly, in our view, show that this juror has predetermined the evidence. Just want to point out that in addition to those, this one specifically, Judge, and I'm sorry, I don't know if it's A, B, or C, but the question specifically states, will the jury be able to observe Sally Smith as a live witness or by Zoom during these proceedings? And goes on to say, are we able to be told, as there appears to be probable cause of improper actions by of Sally Smith in her assigned role at J-Hatch, has, was she written up or coached, is Sally Smith still performing duties at J-Hatch? To me, that is a prime example of the concerns that we have with respect to this juror, since he's already determined that there's probable cause that Sally Smith did harm and did wrong. To further...
Even with the word may?
The word may?
Did you read that may be probable cause?
I don't think it
appears to be probable cause.
Well, again, Judge, though, it's a predetermination by this juror. His hostility towards the defense witnesses, his advising that he happens to be of the same ethnic background, and maybe we just thought she was pushy because of that. The fact that he considered one of the nurses a breath of fresh air because she's the first person to say anything nice about Maya. All of these, when you put them all together, Judge, are a pattern and an indication and evidence that this juror has already decided the case without any deliberation with his other fellow jurors, without any instruction on the law. Suggestions that the witness has overreacted, indicating his view of the CRPS. I mean, the hostile questioning of Ms. Laporte. Are you attesting to this juror that you are the only one on the call? I mean, the whole tenor of all of these questions that we pointed out in our motion indicate that this juror has made up his mind. And it wasn't even, I mean, it was from pretty much after the Kowalskis testified. And from that point forward, I think the evidence shows he turned a deaf ear to the rest of the testimony, and that his questions indicate that. We think under the law that there is sufficient grounds here for this court to, in fact, change his status from being one of the jurors to one of the alternates, and that would be the appropriate to handle it. We think the Allberger case supports that. We don't think it's necessary to interview the juror. We think that when you look at Allberger, that the appellate court will support that you as a trial judge were here and could judge this matter as the trial judge. The Washington v. State case that the plaintiffs cite to, which is first DCA, the tenor of those questions were not the same, Judge. The judge seemed just to be irritated because they were asking a lot of questions. But it wasn't that the questions were hostile or indicated that the juror had already made up his or her mind. So we believe that this is the appropriate motion to bring, and it should be granted.
Now, my reading of the Allberger, and that's Alberger versus Harbison, Harvison, 342 Southern 2nd, 537. There wasn't a discussion as to what the jurors' questions were. My recollection of that case was the trial judge had already determined, as a matter of fact, that the juror could not be unbiased and fair.
There's no detail in the There's no detail in the actual case as to what it was. It just said that the appellee's counsel voices objections on the grounds that the nature and manner of the juror's questions, and it was apparent the juror had shown bias and lack of objectivity, and then a juror was substituted over objection, that the juror was substituted. And we think that that is the case we have here, Judge. I mean, when you look at the totality of these questions and the hostility of these questions, as we've detailed in our motion, and I could point out some others, but I think the court has read the questions. Certainly during trial, the court read the questions. There were times during this trial when we at the bench pointed out, Judge, that seems to be a question where this juror has already made up his mind.
Let me ask you this. I mean, everyone knew that this juror was former law enforcement. I mean, we knew that from day one, given his jury questionnaire. And isn't it something that law enforcement officers do, is they confront people with conflicts and stories and evidence and see how they react? Isn't that just how a person digests information? And it's just, we knew he was former law enforcement, and therefore we could kind of expect that he was going to ask tough questions, sharp cross-examination type questions.
Well, Judge, I don't think these are tough cross-examination questions. I think these are questions that show a bias. They aren't objective questions. They are biased questions. When you talk about probable cause, when you talk about confronting a witness with, hey, wait a minute, maybe the reason Maya's having these issues is because of the fact that you separated her and you did this and you did that. Those aren't tough cross-examination questions. Those are questions that indicate a bias and that he's already determined that those facts are true.
Anything else, Ms. Crowles, that you want to say?
If I can have a chance to respond to the plaintiff.
Sure. Who from the plaintiff is going to make the argument?
I will, Judge. It's interesting, the perspective, because I went back and looked at my notes from the first 2 weeks, and I had a big question mark next to juror one. As to whether he was dead set against our position based on the questions that he asked. He didn't say he had the same ethnic background. He said Nordic and a certain blunt way, I believe was his question. So he was not trying to identify himself, because she's from Poland, and I think he's talking about Sweden. And the breath of fresh air, he just said, period. He wasn't addressing that, and we don't know from that. What we're doing here is trying to go back and do another voir dire, or redo voir dire. This juror, like the court said, is probing every bit of this evidence and every one of these witnesses, and thank goodness there are jurors like that out there. So just because he has asked these type of questions does not disqualify him. If anything, he seems like a pretty contemplative juror, as do all of ours. So that having been said, I mean, we don't want an appellate issue, any more of the appellate issues
let me just stop you right
there. Go ahead.
Ms. Crowells is suggesting that juror number one status be changed from on the jury to being an alternate. So effectively not disqualify him, just shuffle the chairs. At the end of the day, do you agree doing that because you're concerned about it for whatever reason? Do you agree to do that or not? Because, you know, if you're going to agree to do that, we'll walk a certain path. If you're not agreeing to do that, we'll walk a different path. Do you need a moment with Mr. Elegant and your team to decide that?
Because when it's all said and done, if you're in agreement with Ms. Crowell's on changing his chair from being on the jury to an alternate.
Well, my one question, I want to confirm who takes his place, obviously, which I think is juror number five.
Whoever was the next.
My notes have. I mean,
we're not looking to shuffle the alternates, so whoever is the.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
My notes have, and Madam Clerk, tell me if I'm wrong, that our jurors are jurors 119, sorry, our jurors are 117, 19, 93, 97, and 98. The first alternate is juror number 106, the retired electrician.
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's our understanding as well, Judge.
So that's the first alternate. Do you all need 5 minutes?
Yes, Judge. I mean, we realize what we're trading out, I guess. And we understand the position of the defense is they just want to trade spots.
Well, we just want to – well, it's not unusual in a trial to sometimes make somebody that was a juror an alternate if they fell asleep during trial, if they had issues. So that's our position.
I'm just wondering if there's an agreement obviating a ruling or is a need for a ruling. And I just – 5 minutes. Let's keep this to 5 minutes because
– less than that, I just want
to – Do you want me to just sit here and?
Yes, Judge.
If you need to call Mr. Elegant, you can step outside and call him.
I think I just need to talk to him.
I'll just sit here and look pretty.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bro, from the show last night to this drive, why is it never chill?
Because this is our life. Backstage, on the road, it's loud, messy, real.
And that's the best part. Whole crew, no plan, just moving.
Good thing Nissan builds for that kind of chaos.
Not just test tracks, real life scenes, late nights, road trips, all of it.
That's why it holds up. Nissan was ranked number one in initial quality among mainstream brands by JD Power.
Yeah, you can tell.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for what really happens.
For JD Power 2025 US Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year, newer models may be shown.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.